All right. Good afternoon, morning, whatever time it is for you. This is Vraiden, and I'm here with Renani and Alanian with the Osculeath Guard, and we're going to be talking about minstrels today. The caveats of all of this is going to be this is how we play our minstrels. Your mileage may vary, but we've had some questions come up in the kin about people wanting to play minstrels better, or both solo and group, so we're going to talk a little bit about the class, what it can do, and the way we play them. We'll have a follow-up session later if you have any specific questions to address with the membership in general. And maybe if Casual Sword of Mordor doesn't get their class roundtables online, we'll see about posting it there as well. So welcome, Alanian and Renani.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's quickly just talk about the class in general. What do you guys see as the role of the minstrel in the Lord of the Rings Online?
I find with the mini, and this is a strictly an analogy, if you look at the group almost like a chess pieces, your tank is basically your queen gathering up all the aggro, keeping the attention, and your DPS are your other pieces, the rooks, knights, whatever, pets would be pawns. Then your minstrel being the healer, and it could be an RK, but the minstrel in particular for this topic would be your king, because if the mini gets taken out, the whole group is going to fall apart. You're basically going to lose the fight. So in that respect, I find the healing minstrel to be the most important character in the group, personally.
And yes, it is.
Definitely. Definitely if the mini dies, you can't heal anybody else when you're dead. So that's a good analogy, I think. And then the minis also has the capability to do quite a bit of DPS. So it can kind of have a little bit of the best of both worlds. You can solo well with the mini, because you can do DPS, especially if you trait the red line traits. The Warrior Scald line, but you can also be that linchpin in the Fellowship and be the healer.
Now, you guys are more into the Tolkien lore than I am. How does this really fit in? Because when I first started playing Lord of the Rings Online, and I saw, it's a minstrel that heals with a lute. How does that work in the lore?
Well, the thing is, it doesn't heal with the loot. I think that's a popular misconception. The Runekeeper doesn't do that either. If you look at the way Lord of the Rings, the game is structured, it's actually morale. So what you're really talking about is your will to fight. And so what the minstrel's actually bringing is song and cheer and uplifting the spirits of the group, and that's what the healing is.
It's very much a bard, like, you know, a bardic tradition to uplift the morale. But also, in the Tolkien lore, the Middle Earth, the universe, is created by spiritual beings called the Ainur. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. But they composed the great musical theme, and this music pervades Middle Earth. It's what brought Middle Earth into being, and so the minstrel is supposed to be able to tap into that sort of ancient power when they're using their skills to raise the morale of their fellowship.
Okay. Well, like I said, that's just something that it's always bugged me. You know, I come out of a Dungeons and Dragons tradition where you have a cleric or a druid or someone who puts their hands on you and prays and they heal you, and a minstrel has a hand drum or a harp. So
yeah, I'd always thought of it as a bard, basically. If you want to make the Dungeons and Dragons analogy, the mini's a bard. And you sit around in the tavern, you tell stories, you talk about how great the fellowship did in the dungeon, and spread fame all over the land, and you know, that sort of thing.
And then when you're out there on the battlefield with your compatriots and times are looking bleak, the songs you're singing are actually the chants of the great heroes of old, and you're basically telling them, you know, hey, these guys got through it, you can get through it too, and keeping their spirits up.
Okay, well, thanks for bringing that. Like I said, that's not something that I'm used to in an MMO setting. So in a group, we mostly use minstrels as healers. Have we ever put together a raid, or do you ever put together a raid and say, oh, someone's bringing their minstrel and all they want to do is DPS?
Yes. Yes, we've had DPS minis come on raids before. They're decent. I wouldn't say they were as good as a hunter or an RK. Now, I don't know. I have never traded a DPS mini and gone and got all my allies set up just to be a DPS mini, so I could be wrong on that. But they do enough damage to be, you know, definitely be a DPS class. And they have enough aggro shirking skills to drop the aggro of the mobs if they should pull it from the tank. But that's not usually the role that they're picked for. Usually they're going to be the healer. And so, you know, typically I would take healing minis over DPS minis. But we have, you know, on occasions where we couldn't find a hunter or an arcade and we needed another DPS slot, we have taken a mini.
Yeah, it happens sometimes, but it's definitely the minis generally expected to heal. And in a raid or in a fellowship, and it's an unusual circumstance when I would take a DPS mini, but it has happened.
Now, the other healing class in Lord of the Rings Online is the Runekeeper. You guys do you play Runekeepers at all?
I'm actually leveling up a Runekeeper. He's 40, level 45 now. We're just starting the epic quest line in Orisian. And it's been very eye-opening. But I still have a lot to learn, and I have a feeling that the legacies on my runestone and my legendary items is going to just change things greatly. But it's been interesting. They're different. I would say that runekeepers generally are healing the entire group with heals over times, and that for me personally, and again, only level 45. I've been having trouble managing the aggro on my RK, and I feel like the mini, I have less issues managing the aggro. But the mini doesn't do as many group heals, and the mini is more of a single target healer. Or also you can do the anthems depending on your trading.
I was going to say, I don't really agree with that last statement about the mini being a single target healing, because especially in some of the new instances that are out right now, I'm finding using three ballads and then using the coda in harmony stance to heal an AoE heal on the group and an AoE damage on the mobs. I'm healing the whole group just fine that way. And I'd also like to say that the captain, I think, is also a good healer. I've healed instances with just my captain, and we've not had any other healer. So there's actually three healing classes, I really think, in this game.
Okay. Well, because I have a runekeeper that I play every now and then. I don't heal with my runekeeper. But what I've noticed, and I think a lot of people say, is a minstrel is a reactive healer. That someone takes damage and you heal to buff them back up, you raise their morale again. And a runekeeper is more proactive with the heals over time. You start out, and I think that's a lot of people's aggro problems. I mean, do you think that's a fair statement?
Yes, I think that is very true.
Yeah, that's what I've noticed about my aggro maintenance on the RK so far. Is that I'm trying to stack the heals so that I can get them stacked to where I want them, usually three tiers. But that's before anybody's really hurt, so early in the fight. And, you know, a lot of times I'll pull the aggro off of someone while I'm just stacking the heals, even though they don't need to be healed. So having a mini at cap, it's been, I have had to get my mind around that difference. So I think that's an accurate statement.
But there also, is that.
I think it depends on how you play the mini. I try my very best to keep the fellowship as healthy as I possibly can and to be a reactive healer as little as possible.
Yeah, there's also a Soliloquy of Spirit, which if you trait and you have your ally set up for it on the mini, is a single target hot, but because you can get it to last
30
a minute
seconds,
and a half.
I think.
It's a minute and a half altogether.
With the traits, okay.
Yeah, you can, and it has like a 30-second refresh. You can put that on half the group, and it does really large heals. So it can. I've seen it proc for 2K with a crit on the tank, for example. There have been like one current instance raid. A well-traded, well-done-up tank guard in particular, you can just put Siliqua Spirit on them and heal them with the boss fight the whole time with Siliqua Spirit and do other things the rest of the fight and not have to cast any other heals than that, so long as no one pulls aggro from the tank.
Okay. Well, why did you guys decide to roll minstrels? Why would someone who's starting out a character or starting a new tune, why would they want to play a minstrel?
I think minstrels, first off, since they're versatile enough to do good DPS, makes soloing, leveling up solo, go fairly quickly. But also, once you get to the point where you're ready to start healing seriously, and you get over the hump of actually, oh my gosh, I've been soloing this whole time, now I actually have to figure out how to heal. Once you are comfortable with healing, it's a lot easier to find a group, because groups always need a healer. You almost always need at least one healer. Sometimes you need, two or three, depending on what you're doing in a particular raid. So you'll find spots in groups quite often, I think, and you have the versatility of the DPS as well.
I'm a control freak, and I found that that the two classes I do best with generally tend to be the healer or the tank. They're not my most favorite. My most favorite's the ones where I don't have to actually have any responsibility, such as the burglar and the captain. And the captain I do a lot of healing on, but it's less than, it's not my responsibility usually to keep the group alive, so I don't have that pressure. But when we were having problems in the groups we were in, going through the instances in Moria, I was finding a lot of times that it was because our healer was not Johnny on the spot, well, having the situational awareness or whatever to deal with it. And so I said, I bet I could do a better job. And so I made a minstrel, and we started actually winning them at that point. And then, that was like, yeah, that was the key. So by being that king, that linchpin, and having the tactical awareness of what's going on, I find that much more fulfilling overall. It's just when I'm in for a low stress game, I don't want to play my mini necessarily.
Okay. Yeah, because my first character was a hunter, and I love playing the hunter because you get to ride around and shoot anything that moves. Mm-hmm. But you can't find a group.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you know somebody that's in it. Oh, they need DPS or crowd control or whatever. Because the minstrel was actually the second tune that I rolled, and I leveled my minstrel up with a champ. And that was back when they still had the 30% healing penalty in fervor. Oh. And so I think if you could have healed then, you could do anything. But for me, it was just a matter of finding the group. And like you said, the healer is the most important person in the fellowship, regardless of what the tank says. All right, now, class considerations aside, all of the races in Lord of the Rings Online can play minstrels. Is there any advantage to playing any particular race? Because I notice we're all elves, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
If I had it to do over, I would be a hobbit.
Yeah, I think a hobbit is a very good choice, because you get the hobbit
Fane.
Hobbit fall down, yeah, hobbit Fane, and so you basically get an extra Fane death, and that's a handy aggro management skill. Your still is death skill, and if you're a hobbit, you get that extra one. Granted, it's got a cooldown of an hour.
But
still, in an emergency situation, it's nice to have.
Much better than the Valnar's defense thing where you're going to get a bonus on parry for 10 seconds. That's nice, but...
No, what I would say for the elf, there's...
Elves look better.
There's the friend of man, which you get as an elf, and it gives you plus 20 fate. And I guess it's not as big a deal now because of the changes they've made to fate, but that used to be a nice bonus. And the fate still affects your in-combat power regen, so it's nice to have that extra 20 points of fate. And then, of course, the human heal, so that's very handy. I'm not sure. I don't see very many dwarf minis, but I think that it would be neat to play one.
Personally, for the human, I've always found that the human heal isn't going to really help a mini too much, because your Boister Courage is going to heal more, and you're going to be able to do that more often. So I guess the human heals maybe a little bit faster if you got to, like, boom, hit something really quick, but that's what our good old Court of Salvation's for.
Well, you know, with the stat caps being removed, it's because isn't there the elves get a penalty to fate early in the game, right? So you have to trait to basically balance that out.
Maybe, you know, for the first 5 or 10 levels, but as soon as you get the first deed done, I think you kill like 30 orcs or wargs or something. You get I can look it up, but as soon as you get that first deed done, you get the racial deed, you get the fate, and that usually happens pretty quickly, and you're back up with everybody else.
Okay, yeah, and with the, like I said, with the stat caps coming off, you know, plus 15 fate or plus what, minus 20 doesn't really make a whole lot of difference.
Yeah, not nowadays with as far as you have to go too with because of the way the healing output goes.
And so from a pure game mechanics perspective, you would re-roll a Hobbit if you were going to roll another Minstrel?
Yeah, I would. Yeah, I'd have a Hobbit. Mm-hmm.
But elves do look better.
They do.
Yeah.
Now, that's that in the role of Minstrel, I think I should qualify that. If you're talking about as a warden or some of the other classes, halflings are darn cute. The hobbits are really cute.
All right, so we want to play a minstrel. We pick our race, and we start leveling. So, like with all the other classes, there's the red, the blue, and the yellow trait lines. When would you use your red line traits the most?
Soloing,
yep. Leveling, soloing, and leveling, I would say, for me personally anyways, I would retrait for leveling. At this point, I don't really bother to retrait too much at all. I might tweak a couple of my traits from yellow to blue, but I haven't traded red line in a long time because I'm at the level cap. So I could be in War Speech, and I can do DPS well enough to, you know, run through quests, dailies, whatever you need to do, but it's not really necessary to actually go and spend the gold or, you know, 250 silver to retrait redline just to do dailies, in my personal opinion. But when I was leveling up, I was certainly red-traded.
Yeah, I go around in War Speech when I'm questing, and I also stay blue line traded because you never know when somebody's going to be like, need Minstrel for the raid that I want to do or whatever, and I don't want to have to go retrade necessarily for that. And I stay, this is at level 85, and I'm staying around 1200 DPS blue line traded in War Speech.
Okay, and just as a refresher, the red line is the Warrior Scald trait set.
Right.
Most of those skills do revolve around combat and damage and crit and all that other stuff. Back in the old days, the red line, you would see people running around, they called themselves Tankstrels, because you could trait for medium armor. Mm-hmm. And right?
Yeah.
Did you guys ever do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a set of medium armor, but it was short-lived. They took that away shortly after I rolled the mini.
When I was bringing Alinian up, he was my second character. My first was my Berg. When I was bringing him up, and I found back then that around level 35 to level 50, you had to trait the leather armor and put the leather armor to survive as a minstrel. You don't anymore, but as a solo mini, I could not kill things as quickly as they were killing me from 35 to 50, without wearing the leather armor.
But they've kind of fixed that now, so new leveling minstrels don't have that survivability issue like we did when we rolled them.
Yeah,
Is that
when they
fair?
redid the ballads, and the coda, and that whole system, it completely fixed the issues that were there before. It used to be that you could get your, you could do one of your ballads out of combat, so you could do that ballad three times and open your anthems, and then, if you were yellow traded, which we haven't talked about yet, but I'm sure we will in a moment, and you had the proper allies and everything, you could actually get all of your anthems on the entire group, and you could have them rotating and going before the fight even started, and that was about the only way that you could solo back then. But now, with the new system, I like it better. It's definitely more survivable. The ballads, they up the damage the ballads do a bit, but you can't unlock your anthems until you're in combat.
Okay, well let's talk about blue line next. The blue line is the Watcher of Resolve line. It is primarily the healing line. Now, I don't think any of us trait straight blue line or red line anymore. Is that a fair statement?
I'm mostly blue. I'm a blue mini. And then Alinian's more of a yellow line mini, actually.
Not really. Right now, I have one yellow and six blues.
Okay.
There's one blue that I don't really find much use for, which is the one that unlocks the war speech skills on a crit heal. Sometimes that's nice, but more often than not, it just gets things to turn around and beat the crap out of me.
Okay, because I have gone to the yellow blue mix, and like we were talking about earlier, mostly just because I'm lazy and get tired of paying 300 whatever silver to retrait. But if you guys still trait blue line, what are the advantages to running a five blue set?
One thing I wanted to say is the skill he was referring to that opens up your war speech abilities. It's a blue class trait, and it's called Power of Song. I wanted to try to put some names in here so when people are looking for things, they can know what they're looking for. So Power of Song is the one which I skip it too. I don't have that one traded because I feel similarly that it mostly just gets you more attention than you want to be able to do your war speech skills. I do have mostly blue line traded, and it basically enables you to have faster heals, bolster courage, raise the
Through
spirit.
focus performance, which reduces your induction time for all skills by 10%.
So you got faster heals. Then you have cheaper heals, so it's decreasing the power cost for your heals with let's see, what's the improved raise the spirit.
Well, just looking at your trait setup right now, my blue, if I run a blue line set, the traits I slot are smooth voice and glorious anthem from the yellow line, which we'll talk about in a second, and then subtle movement, silver tongue, graceful demeanor, focus performance, and life singer off the blue line.
Did you list improve raise the spirit?
No, because I don't like, just as a matter of personal preference, I don't like that skill. I think that the only thing it has going for it is
Induction
the
time.
fast induction.
Right.
But
You can keep.
it's got a high power, for me, it's got a high power cost with not a lot of extra morale boost as compared to like bolster courage, for instance.
Yeah, the issue I've seen is in some of the faster things these days, like FLM. Which is a Flight of the Lonely Mountain. Your tank will be dead before you can get a bolster courage off, so you have to heal with Raise the Spirit, and you have to spam heal with Raise the Spirit. So casting casting that because it's almost instantaneous when you have those traded with that one. You get a lot of 3K heals off of it. It pops as quickly as you can hit the button just about. And yeah, I've managed to keep a tank at like 500 hits from dying in an instance like that, and Bolster Courage would never go off in time.
Right. I will trade it if in a very specific instance, because I think I traded that for Orthanc for the Cyberman fight.
Right. That's another one where you really need it.
So would that be a more situational trait?
Yeah, I think it has to do with what raid or fellowship instance you would be doing specifically, because there are instances. And Tower, Saruman fight was a good example. Any like Battle for Erebor Tier 2 or Flight of the Lonely Mountain Tier 1, you know, those require some pretty intensive healing sometimes, so it's good to have the raise the spirit almost instantaneous and reduce its power cost for those instances. But then there's other instances you know, where it's not going to be as healing intensive.
I'm pretty sure we both also trait Legendary Spirit, and that's the trait which Siliquia Spirit performs greater heals. It both increases the heal output, and it increases the duration of your major heal over time, Siliquia Spirit, which can be cast while you're moving, which is a big thing to note also, because like Raise the Spirit and Bolster Courage, you cannot cast when moving. So in instances like Draoc, where the dragon jumps up and down, you really have to heal with Coda and with things like Court of Salvation and Siliquia Spirit, or you're not going to get any heals off.
Yeah, because you'll be interrupted a lot.
Okay, so just a quick recap. Alan, what's your blue line setup? What build do you use?
The same one you listed. So I've got Graceful Demeanor, Focused Performance, Silver Tongue. The only and Lifesinger subtle movements. The big difference is I have the improved Raise the Spirit traded also, just because in BFE and in the current raids, there's a lot of times where you have to spam heal people to keep them alive, and I find that switching to Raise the Spirit and healing them is actually much, much better for those.
Yeah, I'm actually traded. As far as my class traits go, I've got the same blue line. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 blues. A blue line one that I have played with before that is nice is the improved Song of Soothing, which allows it to be pretty much an instant cast for aggro management. But we touched on this earlier, just chatting about it. My workaround for that particular problem is to use the sheet music. So instead of having to use that blue trait, improved Song of Soothing, I just keep a stack of sheet music on me, and it keeps your next skill has no induction. So I just hit the sheet music, I hit the Song of Soothing, and it's like I've traded that, but I don't have to put that blue class trait in there. And then I've got two yellows, and the two yellows I went with are Glorious Anthem, which makes Anthem duration 5 seconds longer, and Lyrics of Bravery is, I was using that because of, I think it was BFE, Battle for Erebor specifically, I needed the tactical mitigation. But I might actually change that now that I'm looking at it. But I like Glorious Anthem to be one of my off ones. So 5 blue, 2 yellows is what I'm running.
Okay. And let's just back up for a second. If you were to trade a red line build, what sets would you use?
I know one red, the Warrior Scald trait that I really, really liked. It's the Unrelenting... I think it's just called Unrelenting, and it makes your piercing cry cause a stun. Love that one. So I would definitely have that. Yeah, it's just called Unrelenting. It gives your piercing cry more critical hit chance, and it adds a 5-second stun. And then I would go with Enduring Morale. So it gives you, you know, more max morale and allows you to heal yourself better. And then there's one that does power cost.
If I was going to trait Redline, I would use all of them except Improved Echoes for battle.
Okay, well, my Redline build, and again, this is just my setup, I use from the Redline, Discordant Melody, Improved Echoes of Battle, Light in the Dark, Powerful Voice, Unrelenting, and then I, for whatever reason, I always trait Life Singer and Focus Performance out of the blue line. That's in every build that I've got right now. But again, for those of you listening, your mileage may vary. All right, so let's move on to the yellow line. Do you guys ever trait a full five-slot yellow build, or do you go with the mixed?
Okay. I have.
Go ahead, Alan. Tell me about the yellow build that you have, because I've never run a full yellow set.
Full yellow is basically what I like to call the buffing mini. You want to run in harmony as your stance when you're full yellow, and you want to trait Glorious Anthem. You want to trait I'm looking over these as we go. Heralded Savior is a real nice one. Smooth Voice, which reduces your anthem cooldowns. You basically want it to be all about the anthem, so flow of harmony. And the way I do it, it doesn't have to necessarily be that. And then I like the ones that give the bolster, like a Battle Hymn, which adds 644 to evade and 618 to armor from your Anthem of Prowess. And then Lyrics of Bravery is a good one. Heralded Resolve is another good one. So what that does is then you're going to cap all that with the Master of Tales and get the dual songs, like Tale of the Elements Battle, which is the one I always run. Gives your Fellowship 102 Vitality, 2,761 Resist Rating. Remember, you don't have to pot it if you resist it. And 644 Tactical Mitigation, which is real handy because a lot of folks just don't have the virtues to have their Tactical Mitigation capped. But then, if you have an Anthem LI, so that it's set up to add plus 10 seconds to your Anthem duration, and you have the Anthem Armor, the Hype Bolt set, or any other set that might be current, there's always one that's coming around, that adds another 5 seconds to your Anthem duration, you can actually get all 3, 4, 5, 6, all 6 of your anthems going on the group at the same time. So you won't get aggro from heals. You can fully heal in this. You don't get the bonus heals, so you don't heal for as much. But you'll have your group won't be taking nearly as much damage because they'll have a ton more armor, a ton more evade. They'll have a bunch of resistance, a bunch of tactical mitigation, and they'll be doing a lot more damage from Anthem of War. And the real trick to this is, of course, the LIs, because you'd also want to have an Anthem book that you would use with this, and you would have all the Anthem of Composure and Anthem of War traits on it, which would make the outgoing healing for physical, or sorry, outgoing damage for physical plus 15% for your group, and for tactical plus 10%, and it would make your anthems, which give you the Anthem of Composure, which gives you resistance and tactical mitigation, it jumps those up to, hold on. Sorry, I was trying to hit it so that I can see what it does when I have that traded. Plus 14, 17 tac mit, and plus 27, 61 resist rating. So again, at that point, with the trait, it would be even higher. You'd be over 3,000 resist and close to 1,800 tactical mit. And then the other one too, so you're giving your group basically 5% tactical mitigation across the board just for being there with them and singing songs.
Yeah, my yellow build is essentially the same. You focus all about the anthems, duration, power cost. And then I just kind of wanted to touch a little bit on the stances, because that was something else that they've changed recently. Many used to just have, you know, No Stance and War Speech. War Speech is your DPS stance. No Stance was your healing stance. Now they've added the Harmony stance, which is basically the Protector of Song stance. You could see it that way. It alters your coda to be a group heal and an AoE damage coda, and it's helpful when you're not like gonna have to spam heal, you know, the tank because he's taking just mono amounts of damage, but you've got a more relaxed, you know, leisurely fight ahead of you where you can actually do a little bit of damage and not, you know, get everybody killed. That's where you would use your harmony stance, because it does reduce your healing just a little bit. You're not as doing as big heals as you would in no stance at all, but it's kind of a compromise stance harmony is, and that's something new that they've added recently. I know a lot of people have had trouble getting their head around the harmony stance. So what I usually do is, if I'm really focused fully on healing, I am in absolutely no stance at all. If I am kind of a half and half where I can do a little bit of damage and I can heal, I'm in harmony stance. And if I'm, you know, not healing at all, of course I'm in war speech.
I generally run in harmony, even all blue traded, because the outgoing heal does affect that coda also. And the real beauty there is, like she said, it's an AoE. So like we run OE tier 2, and that's a scaling, so that should be good forever.
Yeah, I'll still do
bells. We run bells, and in both of those, I am always in harmony, and I heal the entire thing just about without doing anything else, strictly with the coda that does the AoE and the heal. I just do ballad, 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 coda. I throw an anthem in every once in a while to, you know, help the group out, but it doesn't refresh as quickly as I'm doing the coda, so I'm pretty much spamming the group for 1,500 to 3,000 heals. I think one person got a 6,000 heal off of the coda yesterday. Now, mind you, my healing output's like 52%, so I've got pretty high healing output for a mini now through a lot of direct effort. So I actually run in harmony, even blue traded, and spam the coda for AoE heals a lot, and it's nice.
Okay, well, just to back up a second, the no stance, what we used to call no stance, is they call it melody. That's what the Lotro Wiki says. That's just the basic healing stance. You know, when they introduced harmony, what was that, Isengard?
It was like...
It was when they did the revamp.
Dunland, yeah, so Rise of Isengard, I think.
Yeah, a lot of people, in my experience, my encounters, a lot of people just didn't know what to do with it. And mm-hmm. for a long time, I didn't ever run in harmony. And I still don't a whole lot.
But I get asked about it a lot, which is kind of why I wanted to touch on the stances.
Well, the thing I like about harmony is you can run in it and you can do AoE healing and damage, like I was saying. And then so long as you make sure that you hit your... Anthem of Compassion periodically, you don't get any aggro for doing it, and if it becomes necessary, you just click it and it goes away, and then you're in no healing melody stance, and you can heal. So it's not like you're going to lose anything by being in it.
And would you run that? Do you guys ever run mixed build?
I like the capstones. And I'm guessing you mean like half blue, half yellow, where you got four of one and three of the other sort of thing?
Yeah, a 4-3, either yellow, blue, or yellow, red.
I might could see my way to doing it, but for the most part, I really like the capstones, so I use the yellow cap or the blue cap or the red cap, because I really feel like that legendary gives you something a little bit better than the Circle of Hope.
Yeah, so when we use the word capstone, this is something I get asked about a lot too. The capstone is the legendary trait that requires you to have 5 traits in some specific line of class traits slotted. So when we say capstone on the mini, the blue capstone is legendary spirit. Legendary spirit improves the soliloquy of spirit heals, but it requires you to have 5 traits in the Watcher of Resolve line, the blue line slotted. So that's the capstone for blue. The yellow capstone is Master of Tales, and it requires you to have 5 traits in the Protector of Song line, yellow slotted. So when we use the word capstone, that's what we mean. I get asked that one a lot too.
And it doesn't matter which five in the blue line to get the
it
capsule.
Does not.
Just any
that's
five.
Right.
Any
yeah.
five.
And that's the incentive that they have in each of the trait sets. If you trait 2, 3, or 4 in blue, they each line has its own set of bonuses. And it doesn't matter what you trait, just three yellows. If you trait three yellows, you know you're going to get reduced anthem cooldown, improved power reduction from Perfect Ballad.
Exactly. Right. If you trait, you know, three blues, you're going to get plus 10% Quarter of Salvation healing and plus 1% outgoing healing bonuses to your major ballads.
And while we're on the legendaries, the other two that I always trait in groups are Rally and Fellowship's Heart. Now that they've put Fellowship's Heart to a 10-minute cooldown, I use that in every boss fight. As soon as the boss gets to where he's got about a quarter of his life left, you know, I go ahead and drop Fellowship's Heart, because that's the point where the mini can step back, doesn't have to worry about healing anymore, and can just start, you know, helping the DPS to finish that boss off real quick. And it usually takes at least 10 minutes to get to the next boss fight, so that's never been a problem. If worst case, you might have a minute or two before it's going to pop back up, and you can usually start the fight and it'll pop up in the, you know, right about when you need it. And Rally, it perplexes me sometimes, and I mean, you know, everybody play your minis the way you want to, but it really perplexes me when the captain dies and the mini doesn't have a Rally.
I'm not sure what you need to get that. I know the Twisting Two Tails, that was the Moria book, and that's why a lot of people don't have that one.
Yep. The other two, the red one you buy from the dwarves in Moria at 21st Hall. It just costs money, but you have to have a certain faction. And the blue one, I think you get the yellow one from the book. They took it out. You don't even have to do the final boss fight anymore. So now you just have to do like the third quest, the one right before that you actually would fight the boss before.
Yeah, they changed the epic line in Moria around a lot. You can solo through that whole thing. You don't have to do any of those fellowship quests that were a lot of roadblocks for people before. And while we're on legendaries as well, legendary traits, a lot of people like to use Symphony of the Hopeful Heart. I don't use it, but...
I use tokens.
Yeah, it is an interesting spell. I do see people use it, and it's kind of nice if you are able to all be in one close area. If you've got if you're in a raid and it's spread out across, you know, a whole large room, then it's not going to be as effective. But in instances where everybody's kind of clumped up tight around, you know, a group of monsters and people aren't spread everywhere, you know, Symphony of the Hopeful Heart can be useful. It puts down a little circle on the floor, and it ups your healing, everybody's incoming healing in that area for 2.5 minutes. And if they leave the area, they get a buff to their resistance and avoidances. So I've seen a lot of people use that. Symphony of the Hopeful Heart, too.
Yeah, I don't understand people who don't trait Rally, especially in a group. If you're running solo, fine, or if it's just you and a buddy, but...
Yeah,
pretty much
gotta have Rally.
Oh, yeah, because like you said, sometimes if the captain bites it, you know, there's no other class that has an in-combat res, right?
Right, yeah, I don't believe that the RK has one, and I know the War Master doesn't.
I have a firm belief that the res order should be the captain uses his two and then the mini uses theirs. Even though ours refreshes faster, we need ours for the Cappy, because if the Cappy dies in the raid after, or you know, and he hasn't used his two reses, then it's like one res gets you two.
Yeah, if there's a captain, I'm saving my Rally for the captain. Only in rare cases where, you know,
the tank dies and the captain's out.
Yeah, you know, out to lunch or whatever, and the tank's not getting res. That's about the only time I would use it, my Rally, on anybody but a captain. So I usually save it for an emergency, the captain or the tank.
I was going to say, like, if the captain's already rezzed, you know, two other characters, and then the tank dies, then I would use my Rally on the tank. But it's always the third rez that goes, or if it's a red raise and we have two cappies, then it's always the fifth rez that goes. I don't use it as the first one.
Well, and at some point, maybe you just take a wipe because it seems like now they all reset the cooldowns, right?
A lot of them do reset the cooldowns, yes.
I really prefer not to take a wipe, though, because so many times we have snatched victory from the jaws of defeat. I mean, I've been on Draox where it's like the mini, the RK, and the tank are the only three people left alive, and the rest of the raid is down. And essentially, you know, the dragon flies, and the mini and the RK get a couple reses off, and the whole raid comes back. And we could have just taken a wipe, but, you know, by just holding out for 15 seconds and giving it time to fly, we were able to bring the entire raid back and win it. So it's I don't like to just throw in the hat, but if it looks definite that everybody's gonna die or the healers are all down, you know, once the healers are all down and the cappies are out of reses, then you might as well probably throw in the hat unless the mob's not got but 10k left.
Okay. All right, so you guys don't run any mixed builds. Somewhere along the way, I got talked into running a yellow-blue build, and I've never trade out of it. And part of that's me just being lazy. Like, I never trade out of Hands of Healing for my captain. But you guys don't run a yellow-blue or a yellow-red set.
No, I like the capstones.
Yeah, I've got nothing against that sort of thing, and I've seen lots of minis who do fantastic jobs with that sort of a setup. But yeah, I'm with her. I really like the capstones, and so if I'm going to be healing, I want to be healing across the board. I don't always run like all seven. I'm usually 5 and 2.
And Renani, do you run a 5-2 or do you run a 6 or 7 build set?
5-2. 5 blue and 2 yellows.
That's usually what I have, too.
My yellows are increasing my anthem duration, and my blues are all about the heals.
Okay, and Rally is one of those ones you get from the level 40 books, just killing mobs in Angmar and Misty Mountains, right?
Yes, yeah, it says Fellowship's Heart. And I believe Song of the Hopeful Heart comes from that, too.
Yeah, I'm just going to kind of double-check on that, but continue, and if I learn something new, I'll come back to it and let you know.
Okay, let's talk about virtues. What virtues do you guys slot?
I always, and I actually need to change mine because recently I've gotten my tactical mitigation capped without my virtues being there. Normally, though, I trait straight up physical and tactical mitigations, half and half.
So, yes, you do get Rally from one of the level 39 books where you have to collect the pages in Angmar, Origian, Forshul, Misty. So, yeah, that's where you get Rally from, is by completing the book Melodies of the Valar. And my personal thoughts on virtues, and this, again, a little controversial, I know sometimes people disagree with me, but personally, I think that stat virtues are dead until they change something. Right now, there is so much stats that you can get on your armor and your jewelry that I really don't see why you would want to use your virtues for stats. I use my virtues for mitigations. So innocence and compassion give you both physical mitigation and tactical mitigation. And then if you are doing an instance, and again, Battle for Erebor is a good example because of the fire, that you need tactical mitigation. You are also looking at honor, tolerance, fidelity, and mercy for tactical mitigation.
I'm a big fan of honor because it also has resistance rating, and once again, if you resist it, you don't have to pot it. I really like the resistance rating one, so I also keep charity traded, but again, my tactical mit capped without me having to have my tactical mitigation traits traded, so I don't need to do that anymore. So I've got three physical mitigation traits, which are innocence and compassion, and
the physical ones are charity, discipline, zeal, and patience for physical mitigation.
Right, zeal's the other one I've got because I like the bonus and the maximum morale, and then I've got two resistance ones, which are charity, and that also does physical, as she said, and honor, which also does tactical, and that's given me a plus 5,500 resistance rating at 16. So what I see a lot of times on raids is I hear, pot things because people are getting diseases or whatever, and I look around and like half the raids got diseases and fears, but I don't because I resisted them.
So just a word, since we're talking about the virtues and using the virtues for physical and tactical mitigations, the cap on, and this is current cap, this could change, but the cap on your mitigations, physical and tactical, is based on the armor type that you wear. So minis are light armor. All light armor classes, they can have up to 40% physical mitigation and up to 40% tactical mitigation. So if you've hit 40% tactical mitigation and you've only got a couple of these virtues slotted, you know, for sure don't waste the other slotting tactical mitigation virtues when you don't need them. If you've hit 40% tactical mit or 40% physical mit, then definitely look at some other virtues. Some other virtues that you can consider, and this is just my point of view, wisdom has a nice will component, the will stat. Your will, of course, gives you tactical mastery rating, and what's the other one? It also gives you tactical mitigation on the mini. Your will ups your tactical mitigation. So wisdom for will. Confidence is another virtue. It gives will, and it gives in-combat power regen.
I'd take the resistance over the stats, though, really.
Yes, and then of course you've got the resistance, the charity and the honor have the resistance on them, and there's probably a couple others.
I think the stat virtues are really good when you're low level, up to probably about 60. But after that, you'll get items that have, you know, plus 40, plus 50 will on them, and one item like that, or even higher. I've got things now that have 162 will. And so there's just no point in really keeping the will traits, because they don't give me that sort of level in other defenses that I could get out of other virtues.
Yeah, and that's a good caveat, you know, to say that when you're leveling up, definitely some of the stat virtues could be more useful than your mitigation virtues. Once you get to the end game, that is when you should be more concerned with your mitigations and your resistances, and you're probably going to be getting your stats from your gear at that point.
Right, because at rank 16, the highest stat bonus they give you is what, plus 48, right?
That sounds correct. I'll just glance over it.
Right, and you know, I think a lot of endgame minstrels, even the ones who aren't min-max players, probably have what, 1,800 to 2,000 in their primary stat. So
yeah.
What's another 48 really going to do?
Yeah.
I'm running 2299 will now, and yeah, that's without any will stats traded, and I'm at a serious diminishing returns at this point with my will that high. Because even though they removed the cap, it's a logarithmic progression. So the higher your stat gets, the less bonus you get out of it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, while we're kind of also discussing stats, which of your abilities or which of your stats do you look for gear with? What are the most important stats for your minstrel?
Well, will and vitality.
Yeah, if you open up your character sheet and you mouse over the stats, it will actually tell you whichever class. It will tell you one of the stats is very important. In the case of the mini, that is will, and then you'll mouse over another stat, and there'll be a second stat that says the stat is important. In the case of the mini, that is vitality. All the other stats, when you mouse over them, it just says, you know, as a minstrel, agility gives you this and this and this. It doesn't say important, it doesn't say very important, so that's how
fate's
you can kind of tell.
Three.
Yeah, fate's number three. Just because of the in-combat power regen, but, you know...
Oh, and the out-of-combat power regen, too. If you've ever been in a group with a mini and they have, like, 6,000 power, and then they do a bunch of heals in the fight, and then after the fight they're at like 3,000 power, and then you're like sitting around waiting for a couple minutes for them to regen that 3,000 power, they probably have a very low fate, because the fate is really gives you the non-combat power regen also, outside of food, and it actually gives you a lot more than food does.
With the recent power changes, probably, I don't know, update 10 maybe, so real recent, I have not had too many issues with being low on power. Typically, the champions, the guards, the captains, they're all having power issues, but my mini, my caster classes are not. So, you know, it's something to just kind of be aware of, that they've changed how power works, and I've not had any problems with it. So fate has kind of fallen a little bit by the wayside. Right now I'm running 2,100 will, and that's my most important stat. It's giving me the tactical mastery. Tactical mastery is what we're about as the mini class, because that's where your outgoing healing falls
and damage.
And your damage. So if you're DPSing, you know, in war speech, you need a high tactical mastery. If you are healing, you want a high tactical mastery.
What would you say, just general ballpark? I mean, you don't have to be a specific ballpark. What should you have for tactical mastery? If you're going to be a
currently.
Group, currently, to be a group raiding healing minstrel.
30K.
Yeah, 30K would be a good target.
Tactical mastery, 30K tactical mastery. Now, because of the thing we were talking about where you can stack your will to, you know, and just to throw a number out there, to 5,000, you get diminishing returns on that will at a certain point. So once you get to about that 30K mark, even a little bit before that, maybe 27K tactical mastery, maybe even as early as 25K, instead of stacking more and more will, you want to look for things that actually give you a tactical mastery rating. So you'll look on your jewelry.
That's not entirely true, because your tactical mastery straight off of your will is just add a zero to the end of your will, and that's how much tactical mastery it gives you. You do need a lot of items will have will and tactical mastery, and those are the things that I look for, because you know I've got 2,200. Tactical mastery straight off of my will, 22,000, sorry, and then the other 11,000 comes off of pieces of gear and the settings, gems, and runes that I've put in my allies.
Okay, because I'm behind you guys in will. My will right now is 18 and change, and I've got 25,000 in tactical mastery.
You've also got a lot of morale. I was noticing that. You're running at like 9K. You're stacked. You could tank something. Whereas I've had to sacrifice, I wasn't really happy about it either. I've had to sacrifice morale in order to up my tactical mastery so that my outgoing healing would go up. But, you know, I'm running at 7.
Yeah, same. If you look, you'll notice both of us have about 2K less hits than you. Actually, 2,400 less hits than you.
He's a brick house right in there.
Yeah. You look like a Moore's Mini, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was over 10,000 before this last update. And part of that
we
was
were too.
You know, part of that was after when they did, what was it? The latest update where, it was Isengard. When they dropped Isengard, it was like you dropped 2,000 morale just on the spot. And then as the Isengard gear came out, it was like just peeling morale off your character. So maybe that happened to my Runekeeper too. My Runekeeper, as I geared up from level 65 to 75, it was like my health dropped. And I thought, this isn't how it's supposed to go.
Well, it is now. And that's why the physical and tactical mastery, mitigations mean so much, because if you're mitigating 40% of the physical and tactical damage that's incoming to you, you don't need those other 2K hits. Instead of taking 4K from the fire and BFE tier 2, I only take 1K or 2K.
And you have to mitigate it because you don't have the morale to just, you know, get slapped in the face anymore.
Right. You also need crit defense. It's pretty crazy.
I have a little itty bitty bit of crit defense, and I just put the way I handled crit defense was just on the off chance that I had aggro, you know, and something was trying to kill me, I wanted a little itty bitty bit of crit defense, and there is a crafted relic that I've put in my sword and my books, the emblem of protection, and that's where I'm getting my critical defense. And also there is a crafted shield, which gives you a little bit of critical defense, and so I've got about, you know, 18% critical defense, and that's probably more than enough.
See, I never worry about that, because when you guys tank, I don't ever have aggro problems.
Right. Well, now, that's something, too. And I don't know if we're going to just migrate naturally into the gear, but we seem to kind of be anyway. In the LI department, I think it's really important that if you're going to be a healing mini, that you have a healing weapon. I know that sounds kind of funny, but you don't really need to put anything in the tactical damage rating, but what I find you really need to do is you need to max the minus 10% healing threat, and your rally cooldown, and your triumphant spirit cooldown, and then I like to also put still as death cooldown in there and max that so that I can fall down if I need to lose aggro, Just I use that as my healing LI, and then I have a book. I actually have a book for each of my heals, but Bolster Courage being the main one, that has plus 10% healing and motivation skills morale, plus 10% Bolster Courage, plus minus 10% healing skills power cost, minus 5 Court of Salvation cooldown, and then I put a Will of Fate and a Vitality Legacy on that. And that's my healing set of LIs, and I find that helps a lot. But that sword with that minus 10%,
you've got to have the heal threat down. Yep.
Yep, and then having a whatever your musical instrument of choice is, have one of those crafted that has the healing threat down as well. Let me see what this is called.
Okay, well, let's just touch quickly. We're kind of moving that way anyhow. Okay, so for legendary items, your minstrel should have at least one healing weapon and one healing book, and then one DPS weapon, and then one DPS book.
I kind of tried to break it down as simple as possible, because I know most people don't have multiple LIs, and the prospect of multiple LIs is quite daunting. So
they could have a different set they use depending on what role they're using, is what I think he was going with.
Right, but you could have a DPS sword. I know there are some...
There's a DPS sword for sure. There's actually two that you can make. One's with Ballads and Cry, and the other one's with all the War Cry things. But, I mean, I'm going over all of my books, and I've got all of the LIs on various that we can get, all the legacies we can get. And none of these books have anything except for a resistance to Ballads. So you could have a book that has a minus on your resistance to Ballads, but, for the opponent. But I don't see any of these that actually increase damage or anything.
Well, there's Echoes of Battle.
The Anthem of War damage, Anthem of Composure.
I would consider that a yellow graded.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. I would consider that a buff book, and I would definitely have all of the Anthem of Composure, all two of the Anthem of Composure and both of the Anthem of War allies on legacies on that book.
Yep, what I've got is Anthem of War damage tactical, Anthem of War damage physical, or melee rather, and then I've got Anthem of Composure tactical, Anthem of Composure melee, and then I've got target resist rating Ballads, my Anthem book.
And on my sword, if I was going to be yellow traded or if I was going to be using a bonus on the buffs, I would have the plus 10 Anthem duration to go ahead and add an extra 10 seconds to those anthems.
Right, yeah. I only have one sword. I do not have a DPS sword. And what I've kind of classified as the most important things to have on your healing sword, rally cooldown and heal threat down. You want those maxed, tier 6, rank 9, I believe it is. And then what I try to put on my healing sword is Feign Death cooldown for aggro management, And target resist invocation of Elbereth, which is your fear, makes monsters run away from you spell. And so those are kind of my aggro management sort of legacies on my sword. And then I do have the anthem duration on my sword. I chose that one. And then I put vitality on there as well. And then for, if I was only going to have one healing book, which I know some people just will have one healing book, I would say you absolutely have to have healing and motivation skills. It's plus 10% fully tiered up, plus 10% healing and motivation skills. Absolutely got to have that. Absolutely got to have healing skill power costs to reduce the healing spell skill power cost. And then choose one. If you prefer bolster courage, have bolster courage healing on your book. If you prefer raise the spirit instead of the bolster courage, put raise the spirit healing on your book. And then the last three, what I've got on what I would recommend is the Court of Salvation cooldown. I really like that one as an instant heal. I use Court of Salvation a lot. And then I personally went with Resist Rating Songs. That is going to help you mostly crowd control. Song of Soothing, so it won't have as much of a chance to resist your Song of Soothing should you get aggro. And then I put Vitality again on the book.
Oh, and also the improved Song of Distraction. They've actually made that extremely useful. I recommend any minis out there use that, because you can really cut down on the number of opponents you pull when you're soloing out there with that. And it actually seems to work in a lot of the instances now, whereas they used to be immune.
Okay, and I'm looking at the legacies that you guys are talking about, and the caveat with a lot of those is you're looking at major legacies, and unless you get really lucky as you're leveling them up, you know, most folks get the three major, three minor. But you guys, I know, Alan, you have that funky rotation that you use, and you guys have macros that you write that switches out your weapon. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, if you're like me and don't swap out macros, because on my healing weapon, I've got five. I was really lucky. I've got five majors and one minor that I used.
And you can add a major now.
Right, with that, with the, what's it, the Crystal of Remembrance or something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they drop, I've looted several in various instances.
Yeah, like the six mans that folks are running, you know, you have a chance of getting them out of the chest.
So you can really have four majors and three minors pretty easily on a weapon or a book of choice.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm just to go over, I've got on my healing sword, I've got Rally, Healing Threat, Soliloquy of Spirit, Pulses, Anthem Duration, Triumphant Spirit. Those are all major legacies, and still is dead.
Those are all good. Yeah.
Yeah, Triumphant Spirit cooldown is a nice one. I debated that, and I still debate that. But again, sometimes you just can't have, so you can have only so many allies.
I find that indispensable. The time it takes off of the Triumphant Spirit, cooling it down to 8 minutes is really, really nice. I've actually cast it twice, or used it twice in some of the boss fights.
Right, and then in my book, I really only use one. I have another one, but I don't use it. I've got Healing and Motivation Skills, Bolster Courage, Inspire Fellows, Healing Skills, Power Costs. Those are majors.
Right.
And then I've got Court of Salvation cooldown, Anthem of Composure, Tactical Mitigation, and Anthem of Composure Resistance.
Yeah, that's good.
And then on my DPS weapon, I run, it's only got three majors, and I've got Piercing Cry, Call of Orome, Anthem Duration, Minor Ballad, Damage, Call of the Second Age targets, and Call to Fate critical multiplier.
Yeah, that's a good DPS weapon.
But I found I don't really use that as much, since, you know, if you're in a raid. But leveling up, if you're soloing, you definitely want to have at least one of each, right?
Well, and also, I mean, you have to remember to switch your weapon when you go to the floor. But like in Dreok, I frequently do the the clause and more speech, because generally, so long as people stay out of fire, you don't have to heal anybody if you're not healing the tank.
Yes, you could use your DPS book on the clause, and then when you run out, you just need
on
to remember.
On the floor, you'd need to switch to your healing sword.
Okay, now, allies aside, is there any other gear that you guys specifically stock or keep in your inventory if you're going to be group healing or raiding? Or what should you have in your inventory?
Well, I'm not pack rat. Yeah, go ahead.
All right, I would just say before we leave allies, I find that it helps a lot to have a true setting of the three hunters, both my books and my sword, as the setting, because that gives you 7.5% devastate magnitude, plus 648 tactical mastery, or sorry, 646 tactical mastery and 35 fate. And then I also put in a Eastman Gem of Charity, which gives you plus 808 tactical mastery and a bonus 310 power. And then I have a Rune of Power, which gives you some physical mitigation and also 606 tactical mastery and another 27 fate on this particular one. I've got the 75 here. I'll be replacing it eventually, but I always use these same ones. And then on my books, and it doesn't really matter, but on my books, I use the Emblem of Insight, which gives you fate, critical rating, and 640 tactical mastery. And then on my weapons, I use the Emblem of Protection, which gives you 320 critical defense and gives you some more physical and tactical mitigation. So that's where actually a bunch of my tactical mastery comes from, and a bunch of my fate comes from, is the fact that I've got, you know, nearly 70, 140 fate on my two allies because of the settings, gems, and relics I pick, and I've got like 1,400 tactical mastery on the sword and the book. That's another 2,800 there.
Yeah, I know it's difficult to gather the shards, and then it's expensive, but I suggest springing for the good relics and going ahead and trying to do what you got to do to grind those out. I make crafted relics that you get starting at the supreme tier of crafting. In every single crafting ability, starting at supreme, you get some crafted relics. You can make them, deconstruct them at the relic master, and then refine them into shards. And the supreme one is only 64 shards, but you know, if you try to get on pretty often and make it, and you have multiple characters especially, they can add up. But then the real big ones that you can refine for a lot of shards require the Compendium of Middle Earth. Volume 4 is the biggest one that we have now. You run the crafting instances in Heightbold. There's a crafting instance to get the Compendium of Middle Earth Volume 4. And that's a weekly, so it doesn't require, it's 5 days, doesn't require 6 days, sorry, 6 days, 18 hours. So it doesn't require you're on every day, but if you can make that every week and then refine it, your shards will add up, and eventually you will have enough shards to craft yourself the pricey relics for your allies. And that's someplace that I would not skimp out on.
And shards, just to be clear, the shards go into your barter wallet, so they are shared by all of your toons.
Yes.
Because I know that some people, they have lowbie characters that were supreme masters or can get tier 7, even tier 8 crafting. You can park them in a forge just to make yourself crafted relics and then refine those out to feed your main toons.
Exactly, and that's actually why I have the drive to level my arcade to 45, was so that he could get access to the Forge Master and the Relic Master, so that I could actually decon these crafted relics that I had been making with him and use them for shards. So, yeah.
Okay.
But then, to your question about what sort of items to keep in your bags, Specifically for the mini, and this is just me, I know a lot of people don't keep sheet music. I do keep some sheet music. Right now I'm actually working off some Westfold sheet music, so there's better ones now. But it makes the your next induction will not be interrupted. And so just for me, I use that almost exclusively for Song of Soothing. If I have gotten aggro and I need to cast a Song of Soothing and I can't, you know, because I'm getting hit, I will use sheet music. Then my induction can't be interrupted, and then I cast the Song of Soothing, and they all run away and go attack the tank or, you know, the hunter or something, not me.
And on that, I don't, regardless, since the next induction cannot be interrupted, it doesn't matter what level sheet music you're using. If you don't need the reduced power cost, which I've not had any problems with power, so I don't really need that effect. So the ones I'm using now are still some I made back at 65, because they don't get worse just because you're higher level.
Yep, so they're not like necessarily wasted, which is nice. Another thing that I definitely use on the minstrel, I keep lute strings. I keep lute strings of greater subtlety, which reduce your healing threat by 10% for 5 minutes. And I keep some improved lute strings of greater subtlety, which is the critted version, and it reduces your healing threat by 12% for 10 minutes. I try to save the critted lute strings for, you know, big boss fights and raids. And, you know, if I'm just running around, you know, it's usually only in raids that I would use the lute strings. And I find it helpful, especially when you have to heal a lot right at the beginning of a fight, to use the lute strings. It further reduces your threat and helps to manage your aggro. Okay. And then I'm a pack rat. I keep some of everything. I've got tokens. I've got scrolls of warding, scrolls of battle. I keep some. I keep vitality food, stat food for vitality. I keep heal over time food. I keep coffee so that if I have to run back and res a bunch of people.
Or even just, I actually drink coffee even for the battles, because if you can outrun the mobs, they can't hit you. Sometimes you just have to kite around the tank in a circle as the minstrel until the tank can pick up the aggro.
Mm-hmm. So I keep coffee. And then I used to keep one of each type of fortifying food, so the fear resistance, the wound resistance, whatever. That got to be a little tedious and took up a lot of bag space, so what I decided in the end was, if my character hates being disarmed, they carry the wound resistance food, so that's typically my tanks, my melee DPS people. If my character hates to be silenced, then I carry around the fear resistance food. So in the case of the mini, I carry around fear resistance food.
Yeah, me too. The fear resistance food is very, very handy, because the 1600 resistance is for everything, and you just get that plus 2% fear resistance off top, which is great.
Also, full stack of your potions.
At least 20. Of each.
Yeah, I would say at least 20 of wound, fear, disease, poison removal. Also, Celebrant
and Athelas. Celebrant. Mm-hmm.
Okay, but for stat food, we're looking at will or vitality.
Yeah, that would be my choice.
Unless you're having problems with power. If you're having power issues, that would be a case for taking fate food. But otherwise, yeah, I would take vitality food or will food for the tactical mastery for will, or the extra hits for vitality.
Okay. And as far as instruments, do you have a preference for instruments?
The instruments now don't. They used to be varied, so the drum was good for ballads and all that, but now there's different versions of them. So I say, for me anyway, I use the harp, because having played the mini a lot, I know that hearing a pig born going constantly in the background
cowbell.
While you're fighting, or the cowbell, can really get monotonous for other players. I know it's gotten that way for me. So I like the harp because it's pretty mellow, but whatever the player wants to play is really what they can. If they want to be obnoxious and in everybody's place face, take a pig born and a bagpipe, and, you know, just blast everyone's eardrums. But
I
otherwise,
turned off music because of that sort of thing.
Now, I do have, just like my allies, I switch out my harps. So I have a oaken harp of the battle singer, and these are just what's current at this level, but they tended to stay the same as far as what they do, which is all about ballads. It does additional ballad and coda damage. It's less ballad cost. It also does less cry cost and gives you minus on perceived threat. And then for healing, for anthems, I should say, I use a oaken harp of the Wary Watcher, which also has minus perceived threat and everything. And then for heals, I use a harp of resolve, which has a minus healing power cost, 15%, minus 15% perceived threat, and plus 3.5% healing, outgoing healing.
I also use three instruments. The Harp of Resolve is the same for healing. The Battle Singer is the same for the ballads. I have, instead of what he was using for his, I've got an anthem one. So I'm using a Flute of Conservation. And I switched it up, so just to keep the sound different, some of my favorite instruments are flute, harp, and the theorbo. So I've actually got an exquisite oaken flute of conservation for my anthem power cost. I've got an exquisite oaken harp of resolve for the healing, and an exquisite oaken theorbo of the battle singer. So I actually play three different sounding instruments, and I like that. It's just a personal twist.
Yeah, I keep different instruments so I know what I'm doing. So if I'm healing, I have my flute out. If I'm you know, battle singer instrument, because I've been in the middle of the raid and I'll be playing the theorbo and think, oh, I'm supposed to be healing. Let me switch this out and hope no one notices.
Right.
Because at low level,
is
like
that
you said,
what that was?
Yes, that's what it was. Because at low level, I mean, the theorbo is the only threat reduction instrument, and the drum was the DPS instrument. Well, that goes up through tier 6, right? It was a tier 7 that they started making every instrument do everything. Is that right?
Yeah, I thought they went back retroactively, but I have not gone and looked on my woodworker, and I haven't, you know, so I don't know. I haven't made any low-level mini items. I thought they changed it all the way back, but it definitely, I think it was 70, level 70 weapons. They started all being, you could make a harp that does multiple things, or the orbo, or whatever, and varying it is a fine idea, too.
Yeah, because that's for me. That's my personal preference. Because otherwise, I'll just, oh look, I'm playing my flute and I've got the wrong weapon out or the wrong instrument.
Now, on high end things, a couple things that I like to keep on my minstrel are scrolls of max morale and power, which I've managed luckily to get out of Rittermark boxes, but you can also get them from the new Hobbit Daily Gifts, and you can also sometimes buy them in the auction hall, and you can definitely buy them out of the Turbine store. They give a bit of max morale and power. We used to spend Destiny for these, but I guess they're done away with the Destiny system.
I think you still get Destiny if you go to the Moors a lot.
Okay. So you could use Destiny instead, but I use those. I only use them for big boss fights where a little bit of extra power and morale might make all the difference. And then Tomes of Defense, which do minus 10% incoming tactical ranged and melee. And again, I only use them for those situations where you know, you're going to be doing repeated BFEs, or you're going to be in a raid for a while, and you've got a lot of bosses. Like I would say, definitely if you were in what's that one that scales now?
Barad Guldur.
Yes, Barad Guldur. If you were doing the maze at the beginning of that, these minus 10% things would just be indispensable, because it's going to be inevitable with all those goblins and wargs running around. At some point, something's going to aggro on you as the mini, and having that extra plus minus 10% on all your incoming damage is going to make the difference between a dead mini and a live mini.
Okay. Anything else about gear that you want to touch on real quick?
Well, there's a couple different options at max level anyways. And just, you know, there's always going to be something that's the latest and greatest, and that's the nature of the game. You're always going to be, like, looking at that next tier of whatever. But try not to let your jewelry and your, you know, offhand sword. I guess for the mini
shield.
Specifically, it's a shield. Try to let that, you know, you're running around at 85 and you've got, you know, level 65 jewelry on. Level 65. A lot of times that stuff slips through the cracks, and it really can make a difference. So, you know, if you don't have the ability to just farm these instances over and over again to get some of these teal or gold drops or whatever, just get the guild stuff. Find, you know, guild jeweler and make guild ring, you know, guild. There's some new Wildermore recipes with this expansion that came out, but the Eastmint stuff is good still too. So, you know, just go with the guild stuff for your shield, your jewelry.
In that vein, running around at the level 75 raid armor when you're 85, trying to heal these new instances and things really isn't going to work for you, because you will, that armor, they really did manage to outdate it. So I would definitely recommend get a hype bolt set or something equivalent. There's a lot of nice teal stuff that drops in the instances now, but the plus 10% healing off of the Watcher set and hype bolt is really, really nice.
Yep, 4 pieces of height bold Watcher will get you the plus 10% healing bonus. And you can get 2 pieces. This is what I had done for a while, is I had 4 pieces of the height bold Watcher that gave me the healing plus 10% bonus, and then I had 2 pieces of the Song Protector, just as an example, and that way I got the 2-piece bonus, which on the Song Protector armor is the plus 5% ballad encoded damage, which, you know, it's nice. It's not as nice as the 10% healing, but you can do a 4 and 2. Then if you've done the Erebor, the tier 1 raids, the stats for that armor at the skirmish camp, and I'd have to look on the mini before I could say with absolute certainty, but they're going to be almost identical to the Heightbold stuff. The difference in that skirmish camp armor, the Erebor armor, the difference is going to come when you have completed all of the raids at your 2, which is a feat in and of itself to do. That's when the armor actually jumps. So if you've got the Heightbold stuff, it's not necessarily oh my god, I got to get the Erebor tier 1 stuff, you know. Look at it, see if the set bonuses are something that you prefer, but, you know, it's not going to be a huge jump in your stats until you upgrade to the Erebor Tier 2 armor, and that's going to take some doing.
Okay. Well, quickly moving on. As far as plugins, I know some people use plugins, some people don't. Are there any that you find useful for your minstrels?
I have the same plugins for all my characters, so it's not specific to the minstrel. I do like, what's this one? I think it's the Bevia Bars 2. And that...
There's a lot of other names for it, but it's like it allows you to set up hotkeys wherever you want. So we can set up hotkeys that match our G13 play consoles that we use, so that we have a visual representation of which key is going to activate which skill.
Okay, because I use them on all my characters, but I found that buff bars. Because it'll show you how much...
Buff bars
is great.
It tells you how much time's left on each anthem. And then I use the Palantir. It's like a HUD. It shows you your morale. It shows you your power. Mm-hmm. And then it has quick slots, so that if you need to pot a wound, it'll pop right up, and you can put a potion in there. So then you hit it, and it just takes it on the spot.
Yes, I highly recommend something like Palantir, or you can set up your buff bars to have a debuff bar. If you go into buff bars / buff bars / options, and then you can go into the effect windows and create a debuff window, and just check buffs and have it only checked on debuffs. It'll show you, you know, you got a broken leg or you got a wound and it's got this much. So Palantir or something like that, so you can be aware of your status.
And then on Bevia Bars 2, there's a nice function in there if you want to check it out. I'm not going to go in detail on how to use it, but there is a nice write-up on the webpage by the author. And you can set that up to come up when you have a certain duration. So like you were just saying left. So like when you were just saying on the anthems, you could have it pop up a button that shows you the anthem when you have like 3 seconds left on that anthem before it expires. So then you could know that you need to refresh that anthem or whatever it might be that you would want to do like that.
And the website for the plugins that we have used and found, we try to use things that have been reviewed by a lot of people. It's not generally a very good idea to just take something that's completely new and put it into your interface. It can actually mess some stuff up. So we usually try to find things that other people have rated. Hey, I've used this. This is great. It's got 4 stars. But the site is lotrointerface.com.
Oh, another good place I just thought about for that function would be on your tails. Like if you normally run, like I do with the tail of battle up, and regardless of stance, and you could set up one to where if tail of battle wasn't running, that button pops up, shows up somewhere on your screen, and then you would know, hey, look, I don't have tail of battle running. And then as soon as you put it up, it goes away.
Okay. Well, I like, and plugins, some people love them, some people hate them. I found that they make your interface very cluttered, and I know some people don't like those, but
yeah, some people don't have the real estate on the monitor for it.
I got a minimized UI just for that reason. So I never like any clutter. I don't even like the text boxes, but you gotta have them. I have an extremely minimized UI that I use from also from Lotro Interface, and you can look around at different ones and find one you like. But mine just basically has the bar with the different hotkey buttons and a little thing that says you're under attack or not, and then it doesn't have anything else, so I get all that real estate back. And then my character representation things. I'd also say I like to use combat analysis, but more specifically for heal analysis, because it allows you to look at your heals per second. So if you're trying something new and you're like, I don't know if this is going to work or not, you can use that. But don't use that as the end all tell all. We've got a friend who plays a mini, and she always, we finish a fight and she spams that she did 3,200 heal per second. But I do like 1,500 heal per second and get the same job done. It's just I'm not sitting there healing constantly. I'm actually doing other things like anthems and ballads.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about combat analysis, it can be annoying when you just constantly link your numbers, but I do use combat analysis. I find it useful to learn about the fight. What happened there? I cast this spell, it didn't crit. I had a pitiful result on my bolster courage, so that's at a bad time. Maybe that's why the tank died. Or I'm looking through there, and I'm looking, and it says this is shadow damage that we're taking. So then I know that, hey, I should be concerned. Do I have tactical mitigation? This instance is doing tactical damage. Or, it's common damage, so I need to make sure my physical mitigation's up. And it's useful as a learning tool about what the instances are doing.
Okay, again, plugins helpful, not necessary though. Now, do you guys ever go out into the moors?
No, I do not.
I want to, but I haven't yet.
Okay. Well, because for a while there, they were saying that the minstrels that became unkillable. I don't know if that's quite true, but Isengard really made minstrels into AoE DPS machines. And that's it seems like a lot of raids were using minstrels that way. Maybe we should ask one of our Moors playing officers more about that.
Yeah,
Well,
maybe
the
mercy
valid
guys.
coda thing that I was saying, that is really, really, really nice in the tier 2 instances, the scalables now. So they're probably doing something along those lines because it heals, your entire group really nicely, and it does a lot of damage. I was popping multiple mobs for 4K a piece, and my DPS in harmony stance was approaching 2,000 in Ostalindial yesterday. So I can imagine that would be pretty damaging in the moors too. I don't know that that's what they're doing, but just as
Okay, well, maybe we'll head out, and until then, we'll defer any more discussion until later. All right, so if you had to give a new minstrel some tips, and what would be the number one thing you would tell a new minstrel? Okay, here's how to be a good healer, and what would the number one thing be that you would tell them to say, This is what a bad minstrel does.
I think it's very important to be aware of yourself. A lot of times, a lot of minis and just healers in general, you know, our case too, they get so caught up in watching the green bars of the other people in the Fellowship of the Raid that they don't realize they have effects on them that are doing damage, or you know, they're standing in fire, or you know, they are almost dead and they should heal themselves. So be aware of yourself. You can't heal anybody when you're dead. So you're number one. If you're down a lot of hit points and the tank's down a lot of hit points and you got to make a choice, it's got to be you first, because you can't heal the tank when you're dead. And you can move your user interface, your target around. I keep mine close to the Fellowship so that I'm looking at all those green bars, but it's not very far away. And I just look and I see, hey, you know, I'm hurt, or hey, I'm fine. And I think that's probably the best and the worst. So, you know, In my opinion, if you're going to be a good mini, you need to pay attention to yourself as well as everyone else. If you're going to be a bad mini, you're going to miss things on yourself, and it's going to, you know, be a domino effect.
Yeah, I think situational awareness is key. And even though a lot of people don't like this, and it's dizzying and it's confusing, you will learn it if you do it. I would recommend playing scrolled out of your body so that you can see if there is a mob behind you hitting you. Because if you're standing there healing, focusing on everybody else, you may not be aware that you're taking arrows to the back or swords to the backside because you're playing, you know, in your character's head. So I always play scrolled out because I find it extremely important to know that this might add or that might add, and you know, I'm going to need to heal this person or that person, and be able to see, you know, the battlefield immediately around you, rather than just, you know, what your character perspective is.
Okay. My biggest pet peeve with people that play minstrels is, and this isn't so much of a problem now, power management. I know that now it doesn't seem like I ever run out of power, but I have been in raids with some other minstrels, and you'll be halfway through, and the minstrel's like, hey, I just used my big heal. Excuse me. Hey, I just used my big heal. And you're kind of like, why did you do that? And then 2 minutes later, they're like, oh, I'm all out of power. And then people start dying. So
what's
that's from combat power regen. The fate doesn't actually give you power anymore, and I make that mistake personally a lot because I'm so used to that.
No, I mean for in combat power regen. That's why they're running out. They need to have in combat power regen, and they need to be using items that are reducing the power cost of their spells. And that's why I have, you know, the harp does a minus 15% on my healing, and my sword does another minus 10. So, you know, when I'm doing my bolster courage, it doesn't cost 162 power, it costs 115. And when I'm doing soliloquy of spirit, it doesn't cost 205, it costs 150.
Well, or it's over healers. You know, if you have, you know, somebody gets hit for a little bit of damage, you know, the tank gets hit for 300, and so they cast a big heal. It's like, why'd you do that?
Yeah, they definitely need, you know, they should be doing a bolster courage or using, if the gift of hammer hand, or even better yet, just going ahead and doing soliloquy of spirit, which only costs like 39 power and does a heal over time, especially if it's only 300, because one tick of the hot should take care of that. But, I understand where you're coming from there. And some folks, they seem to just hit the heals to heal people. And I was in a group this one time, and this guy, I mean, the whole group was down about maybe 2K hits, but everybody had 9. So, you know, no one was taking anything big. And so I was letting people float around 7K and keeping in charge of the heals, but also doing more ballads and mitigation and helping with the damage. And we finished the fight, and the guy was like, oh, you're not a very good healer. You didn't keep us all to full. And I was like, well, I am a very good healer because it kept us all alive and I'm not out of power.
Well, it's kind of, you know, you want to, if you're playing the healer, you want to see everybody's green bar full. But that was what, for me, one of the hardest things leveling up was, it's okay to let the guard take 2,000 damage. you know, they can absorb it. But I think that overhealing is kind of instinctive.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you can't help it sometimes. Like, I throw Bolster Courage on the tank pretty frequently. It's one of my favorite heals. It should be everybody's staple, in my opinion. And now with my outgoing healing and with the incoming healing of Melody's tank, I'm frequently healing her for 11K. She's only got 14, so, you know, I'm going to be overhealing her all the time. But I think the big point there is, you know, I can let her take 5K of damage, and I know a Bolster Courage is going to put her pretty close to full, if not full.
Yeah, just experience is because, you know, we talked earlier about Raise the Spirit and how important Raise the Spirit can be because it's an instant cast. But once you get a feel for, you know, if you've tanked with the tank before or you've run a couple instances and, you know, you've kind of gotten a feel for, okay, this person can take a little bit of damage or they have a glass jaw and they can't take any damage, then you can kind of say, okay, well, he's down a couple K, maybe I should try, you know, a Bolster Courage just to kind of keep him topped off because he's got a, you know, glass jaw, or, you know, he's super squishy, I need to be spamming, you know, Raise the Spirit on him, or he's really, really tough and he just needs Soliloquy of Spirit. So playing with it, getting used to what the spells do, and you know, especially if you tank with people more, you know, play with people more than once and kind of get a feel for what their abilities are as well, it gives you some play. When you are in a pug group, you know, you don't necessarily know what everybody's, you know, status is, what sort of players they are, and so your tendency might be to overheal. But yeah, that's a balance that you want to try to find.
At the same time, I recommend new minis especially heed this. Don't open with Inspire Fellows. Go ahead and let the people take a little bit of damage and then cast a couple Bolster Courages or whatever and then do an Inspire Fellows. Try to keep Inspire Fellows on the group. Treat it more as a buff almost. If everybody's taking a bit of damage, use Inspire Fellows. But when you see the pull start, if you see this problem, the pull starts, the mobs come, the tank does a couple shout taunts, and then the mini's dead. That mini probably opened with Inspire Fellows, and that big heal just totally wiped out all the aggro things that the tank was able to do, and the entire group of mobs just went on that mini.
Right.
So don't open with Inspire Fellows. And another thing is, if you're blue line traded and you're in a real, real tough raid, Major Ballad in Melody Stance gives +7 healing to outgoing healing, 7%, and that stacks with itself. So if you cast it 3 times, your outgoing healing goes up 21%. And then if you add your Anthem of the Third Age, that gives you another 10% outgoing healing. So you'll get +31% outgoing healing by having the 3 ballads and that Anthem on you. And so what you do is you just hit the ballad, and you don't even have to have anything targeted. You just have to be in combat, and then you cast a Bolster Courage, and by that time the ballot will be refreshed. You do it again, and you cast a Raise the Spirit or an Inspire Fellows or something, and then you do it again, and now at this point you're at +21% and your Anthems are open, and then you can do the Anthem of the Third Age to get you to +31%, and you have just become a healing machine.
Yep. One thing about Inspire Fellows, the part that gets you the aggro for Inspire Fellows, and let me just mouse over to make sure, is the very first thing that happens is a big ol' heal to the entire fellowship. So again, once you're comfortable with it, you can time Inspire Fellows, especially in, say, Battle for Erebor. You can make Inspire Fellows go off. The heal goes off before the fight has even started, and then for the next 30 seconds, the first 30 seconds of the fight, everybody in the fellowship is getting the minus incoming damage buffs, so they're getting that benefit, but you cast the Inspire Fellows before the combat started, so you don't have the heal aggro from that big heal, because when the heal went off, the combat hadn't started yet.
And we've done that sometimes also with Fellowship's Heart, right? Because Fellowship's Heart has that hot. So you cast that before the fight starts.
That can get you in trouble, too. Yeah, that can get you in trouble, too.
And also, and then this is something I had to learn the hard way by getting killed a couple times in BFE by the troll. Don't put Siliqua Spirit on your tank before the pull starts.
Right.
Do not cast Fellowship's Heart.
The first thing you want to do when, like, the combat starts, that first second, ballad, just get your ballads in. If the group can't live long enough for you to get your ballads up, something is fundamentally wrong.
Yeah, you need to review what sort of damage you're taking and make sure everybody's virtues are traded right and stuff, because that's usually what's going on there.
But you should be able to have, the group should be able to be survivable enough for you to get your ballads off. And that can be the first thing you do. And that way, he's got, you know, 10, 15, 20 seconds to establish aggro, get where they're supposed to be, and then when you actually start doing some serious healing, you know, keep your Song of Soothing handy. Don't forget about that one, but... and also your Anthem of Compassion, but you should be able to cast some heals at that point and not be pulling aggro all over everywhere.
Yes, and Bolster Courage is a low aggro heal, even though it's a big heal. So it's better to cast three Bolster Courages than one Inspire Fellows.
Okay, yeah, because I always open, I mean, just my point with, if I'm healing Major Bow, those are the first three things that I cast. Because then all the anthems are opened up. Even the Major Ballad, it does a small amount of healing anyway. But that is that I use that as my time to give the tank time to build up their aggro. Mm-hmm. So then I'm not pulling aggro with another one of my healing skills. And then, you like you said, you get all those bonuses, the plus 21%, depending on how you're traded, right? Because...
Right.
Because right now my Major Ballad is plus 5% healing, but I'm running the yellow blue set, not a full blue line set.
Yeah, let me look here. I can tell you which one it actually is that gives me that plus 2%. Oh, actually, too, Lifesinger gives you plus 1% healing bonus from all Ballad buffs. So that's one of the 2%, I think. Ah, and then because I have four equipped, I have plus 2% outgoing healing bonus to Major Ballad buff.
Right. Okay. All right, I'm trying to think if there's anything else we wanted to cover, because we're coming up on 2 hours.
I think we hit all the major points. Yeah, I think we did pretty well.
Okay, so for those of us in TOG, here's what I want to do is I'm going to post this somewhere, and then what we'll have is we'll have a follow-up session. It'll be more Q&A style. We'll take questions ahead of time, and if anybody has anything coming up. Alan, Ronani, do you have anything else you'd like to add?
No, not offhand. Thank you for setting this up.
I would like to just say that I find it better, the best thing that you can possibly do, even though it's boring and it takes a little bit of time, is actually sit down and read your skills as a mini.
I say you should do that with all your classes.
I agree with that statement as well. But if no other, I think that the minstrel or the RK, any healing class, is more important that you understand what you're doing and why than it is for a lot of other classes.
And that's because the healer is the most important person in the fellowship.
Indeed.
Yeah.
All right. So once again, Alan Ronani, thanks for coming. I'll go ahead and stop the recording now.